joined us today, I don't see him. Must we just confirm?
No, Honorable Chair, our chair is not here.
Okay, because I don't want to do the coup and take over while the owner of the seat is around. Having said that, colleagues, it's 1 minute past 9:30. I would suggest that we do courage based on the attendance register on the board, that we declare our meeting officially opened and all of us, we are welcome. We hope we had a good weekend. Secondly is that I assume that all of us, we did receive the documents in time and we had time to go through them. And we'll have a very active, robust engagement with the department. Secondly, from my side, honourable members, that I would like us, just when we're about to close the meeting as announcements, there I've got 4 items that I would like to put before the committee. I'm sure members will agree with me. There is a letter from a complainant against the PC chair or about the Public Service Commission chair, that's point one, which means it is just immediately before the adjournment of the meeting. The second one that I would like to take the committee in confidence is the bill that has been referred to us by the bill's office. Thirdly is the draft incoming quarter report that is just going to be an announcement. It's those 3 items that are not going to take long of our time. But I would like to add them, and I just want to hear from honourable members if they are in agreement to put those items. It's a request actually from the chair, from my side, please. Then silence, should I assume is golden? We are in agreement?
Yes, Chair.
Yes, the reason is why I'm raising it here is because I never engage with the administration, so I'm pushing them. But nevertheless, having agreed, we are all welcome. And we'll quickly go to the apologies, honorable members. From my side, through the administration, the apologies that I have received, still standing the apology of the chair, honorable Shriver has apologized, honorable Maluleka, Joyce Maluleka, she's hospitalized. We wish her a speedy recovery. And the acting minister, our acting minister for DPME, she has apologized also formally through the administration. She's attending cabinet meeting. But all relevant officials and DM, they are going to lead the discussions, and as well as the Brand SA. I'm not too sure, honorable members, if I omitted any apology other than those ones that I've just quickly gone through them. I'll see by show of hand or saying none. Okay, no problem. Let's proceed. Marcy, if possible, can you just fly to the agenda quickly for all of us to see, please? Thank you very much. Today, I think it's going to be a very exciting engagement. So we will be receiving a presentation from DPME on agreement of the accounting officers the year that was, and also as it says that it should be aligned, and they will give us a sense of comfort that it's aligned with the MPSF 2019-2024. I would suggest that we take both the DPME and DPSA, then we will end with a Brand SA, but we'll receive presentation from DPME followed by DPSA, which is point two, and then we discuss and then we go to Brand SA. With that, honorable members, let's proceed. Over to you, honorable DM, DPME, DPGC. Yeah, you are here as well.
Yes,
as well. Also followed by, also when we are going to start DPSA, I'll request DM DPSA also to do the opening high level introduction of the presentation is the way. Thank you very much. Over to you, ma'am.
Thank you. Let me start by greeting the committee and colleagues from DPME, DPSA, and Brand SA. We are really happy to be here. I just want to apologize, Chair. I'm on the field. We are conducting frontline monitoring of distributions of vaccines to frontline workers, and my network is not so very much good. Let me start also by just also reiterating the apology from the acting minister Ntshavheni, who could not join us as she is attending to cabinet meeting, which is taking place, and she's attending that. Just a few highlights. I'm going to request that I speak on DPSA and Brand SA, DPME and Brand SA. We are happy to come and report that all HODs have submitted their performance agreements.
One second, DM, can I disturb you? Then if you do that, I'll suggest honorable members, if you can allow, then we take both DPME and Brand SA, then we take DPSA last, so that there's a flow of also of what the DM would have said as her opening remarks.
Okay. Thank you, Chair. And I'm sorry for making you to change your program. I was still saying that we're happy to report that all HODs have submitted their performance agreements, with only three that are yet to be signed by MECs in the Northwest. The DG will also speak to some of the quality assurance processes which we have conducted. Chair and members of the committee, as part of the reform process, we are working with all stakeholders to ensure that the performance agreements are aligned to the APP and ministerial performance agreements. When it comes to Brand SA, we will speak to plans to stabilize the institution at the leadership position and issues related to the former CEO. I can also just report in advance that the processes are underway of renewing the acting appointment of the CEO for a period of 12 months. Colleagues from Brand SA will also elaborate on that. The board will also speak to the performance of the entity with regards to promotion of the country's reputation. You'll remember that with the pandemic, things had become slow. We had to readjust our APP, and therefore the institution they will take us through in relation to what is it that the institution is doing in relation to the country's reputational report. The last one, Chair, just to go back to DPME, I think I forgot to skip it, is that performance agreements of ministers have been signed. They are there on the website. The ones which are trending is the ones of deputy ministers. But if you check them, the roles have already been assigned to deputy ministers. The only process which we are dealing with internally is to ensure that we finalize the process of deputy ministers signing. With those words, I'm going to request that the DG from DPME take the committee through, and then after that, then Brand SA can do that, and then we'll respond to the questions as they come. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, DM. Over to you, DG Kuna.
Good morning, Chairperson, honorable members, DM Sweya, DM Chikunga, and colleagues from the various state institutions. We wish to thank you for giving us this opportunity to start with our presentation. Chair, with your permission, may I request DDG Blakely Fatuna, who's working on this project, to lead with the presentation, and we will all participate in responding to the questions that will be raised by honorable members. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Chairperson. Thank you very much, Chairperson. It's Blake mostly Lifatula doing the presentation. This presentation will just cover a report on the 2020-2021 performance agreements of accounting officers. The slide dealing with the introduction just deals with the legislation that regulates the performance management development system. And we also just reminding the committee that the DPME is the secretariat supporting the president for HOD evaluations, and we are also responsible for overseeing the implementation of the directive from national departments, and also we also have to interact with the office of the premier in the different provinces to ensure that the office of the premier also do what they are responsible for in terms of the performance management of the DGs in their respective, you know, offices. Next slide, please. Now, last year, as all of us would know, was a fairly tumultuous year. And because of COVID that we were experiencing, there was an extension for the submission of the 2020-2021 performance agreements. Initially, it was extended to the 31st of July, but then later on, as government was still trying to adjust and acclimatize to the demands that COVID has imposed on the state, it was further extended to the 31st of October 2020. As has been indicated, is that the submissions for the 2020-21 performance agreement has been very good. Compliance has been great, except for the three performance agreements in the Northwest that has not, you know, been submitted and which are still awaiting the signatures of the MECs. Currently we are seized with that matter to ensure that the outstanding signatures are actually received. And this table just gives you a breakdown of the substantive heads and the substantive DGs and those who are actually acting. And what we would like to draw attention to is that at the national level, there's you would see that there's about 13 people actually acting, and that is the one after Eastern Cape, Free State, Gauteng, KZN, Limpopo, Mpumalanga. Then you've got national, and you would see that there are 13 people who are actually, you know, acting, and then you would also see the numbers of people acting in different provinces, and this number of people that are actually acting is a bit concerning, and we are trying to ensure that through working with DPSA, and you also hear from DPSA's presentation that it is something that DPSA is trying to address. Next slide, please. This is just a pie graph that indicates those who have actually submitted. You will see that there's 98 that have actually submitted on time, and then there's 8 that submitted, you know, late. There's 37 of people that DGs that are actually acting. Then there are 6 who were newly appointed, and then of course the 3 that is actually unsigned. Even if though the head of departments may have signed, if it is that the MEC or the executive authority has not signed, then we take it that, you know, it's still outstanding and it has not been, you know, attended to. Next slide, please. Now, as we know that the directive in the MPSA makes provision for consequence management, and it basically states that if we do sit with accounting officers who have not signed performance management agreements, they would forfeit the benefits related to the PMDS. But the position that we are also taking as DPME is to insist that it should be a matter of best practice that all accounting officers actually do enter into performance management agreements as soon as they assume office and as soon as they have been appointed. Now, we also note, and we're just reminding the committee that the president has signed the performance agreements with all ministers in 2020. And the most the important thing about the performance management agreement that the president has signed with the ministers is that it stipulates in the ministers' performance management agreement that the performance management of HODs is a must. And it is a must for the minister to enter into a performance management agreement with the DG and the accounting officer. And we are certain that this will actually help in terms of just ensuring continued, compliance and entrenching the culture of performance management agreements actually being a way of doing things. The signing of performance management agreement actually being a way of doing things in the public service when we talk about performance management. Next slide, please. Now, when we reflect on the signing of the performance of this particular process, in terms of successes, there's a high level of compliance, as we've actually indicated, and which we want and we want to entrench this particular compliance level. And then secondly also is that in collaboration with other stakeholders such as the DPSA and the National School of Government, the HOD PMDS system was developed and training was provided, to provincial and national departments. And this is just to empower those affected and those we have to implement, the system. If we have to reflect on the challenges and the work that still remains and that we are currently faced with, is we need to ensure that there's a shift away from compliance to having performance and outcomes-driven performance management agreements. In other words, what we are saying here is we say that it's not just so much a matter of complying, but it's to look as to what is the outcome and the impact that performance management agreements of both the ministers and the DGs have on society. Because government exists to provide a particular service for society and not just because of itself. So in this sense, the performance management agreements are just but an instrument to help government to achieve its necessary developmental outcomes and impact, on society. So that's what we need to do. And the way we are going to do this is to ensure that we look at the indicators of ministers in the performance management agreements. We look at the indicators of DGs in their performance management agreements, and then we see as to how are they linked and aligned to the MTSF indicators and how those MTSF indicators are aligned to the NDP and to the targets within the NDP and the developmental outcomes that the NDP actually wants. So that's how we would want to transition from compliance to outcomes and impact-based. And then secondly also is we would want to ensure that the content of the performance agreements of the DGs must actually reflect the entire, contribution that they actually do. The linkages and alignment with the MTSF is in need of improvement, and we are currently busy with that particular process where we are looking at at you know, the performance management agreement of ministers in the economic cluster, and to see how it is actually linked to the outcomes and the targets of the NDP. And we believe that we can actually do better, and there's room for improvement in that regard. And then also another challenge that we actually have, and that we are also attending to and assist with, relates to just ensuring that once we have given DGs and HODs feedback on the content of their performance agreements, after we've done the quality assurance, you know, checks, that in fact there is a process of incorporating that feedback into their agreements, and them amending, you know, their agreements. So there's also some work that we need to attend to, you know, in that regard. Next slide, please. The other point is that it is in collaboration with the DPSA, because remember, DPSA is actually the custodian of the policy on the PMDS, and DPME is allocated the responsibility of secretariat and actual implementation. So in collaboration with DPSA, we are of the view that the Performance Management Development System guidelines actually has to be amended, and so that the amendment actually allows for much better performance management that actually allows us to achieve the outcomes that we actually want, you know, to achieve. And the bulk of those amendments would essentially be around the fact that the performance management agreements must be more performance-based. It must accurately reflect, you know, the role of the HODs. And most importantly is we need to ensure that there are actually very, very clear linkages with the MTSF and the minister's agreement. And, of course, the MTSF is an implementing instrument that we are using to achieve the developmental outcomes and objectives of the NDP. This process of amendments will commence in the next quarter, and it will be finalized by the end of, you know, 2021. And the recommendations that will actually come out of this process of amendments will be consulted with the MPSA before it can be implemented. Next slide. So to conclude, the Honorable Chairperson and members of the committee, we would like to reiterate the fact that there has been good compliance with the submission of performance agreements to ourselves. And we also would like to reiterate the fact that consequence management must be applied to defaulters. And where there's poor management, poor performance, where there is poor performance, that poor performance must be managed, you know, through the PMDS. We would also like to bring to attention to the attention of the committee that the performance in terms of compliance this year has been very, very good, but there's a problem with and a challenge still with the number of people who are acting. So even if though there's been a decline in terms of the number of people who have been acting, in the last financial year, 1920, it was 27%, and in this financial year, 2021, it is 24%. It is still fairly high, and it is something that we need to focus on and ensure that we eradicate the 24% acting, and we've got substantive, you know, people in those positions, because acting is not good. And then the last point that we'd want to make is that the HOD PMD online system will improve the tracking of documents, and also it will serve as a central storage of all performance, you know, documents. So that's the report that we have with respect to the 2020 one, performance agreements of HODs and its linkages, you know, to the MTSF. So with those few words, thank you very much to the chairperson and other honorable members of the committee and the deputy ministers present here and our colleagues. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Let's Brand SA. I've noticed that we have been joined by the chairperson of BPSA, Ms. Tobias. You are most welcome. I think, notwithstanding that the manager, the DM, has made opening remarks, I'm not too sure whether Ms. Tobias, the chairperson of Brand SA, would like to say some few words, because you are also the accounting officer in terms of being chair of the board, charge of the policy oversight and formulation, and making sure that good corporate governance also finds its expression in the workings of Brand SA. But I'll hear from you who's going to speak. Over to you, ma'am.
Thank you very much, Honorable Lesloma. Good morning, honorable members, and good morning, colleagues. Colleagues, today we've been tasked to make a presentation on first, the finalization of the suspended CEO in inverted commas, and secondly, the stabilization of Brand South Africa. Can we apply to that on the screen, please? Yes. On item number one, the board, when it was appointed in November 2019, first on its agenda, it received a report from the then Minister Mutembu, a report on to finalize on the suspension, on the matter of the suspension of the then CEO, Dr. Kingsley Makwele. And the first agenda item that the board had when it had its first meeting was to process this matter. Therefore, the board followed due process in relation to the Labor Relations Act. And the board then made recommendations and forwarded them to the executive authority for concurrence. And the board, in consultation with the minister, agreed to settle the matter in lieu of the reputational risk that Brand South Africa will continue to suffer in the public discourse if this matter was not finalized. And in the process of engagement, the fixed-term contract of the CEO came to an end on the 1st of March 2020, thus bringing the matter of the suspended CEO to an end. As we stand, we are having an acting CEO in the name of Tulisile Manzini, who has been acting since the then CEO was suspended, as seconded from the Department of Communications and with the concurrence of all the relevant ministers. And as the Deputy Minister has earlier on indicated, as in the process of advertising the post, we then received a moratorium on the filling of vacancies in lieu of the fact that there was a reconfiguration process between Brand South Africa, Invest South Africa, and South African Tourism. Therefore, the moratorium stopped us from advertising any posts up until we have been advised by the executive authority. And in the process of trying to get clarity on how the rationalization process will affect the day-to-day operations of Brand South Africa, we had an unfortunate situation where our executive authority passed on, and may so rest in peace, and we had to receive a new acting minister, whom currently we have been trying to set a meeting to discuss matters affecting Brand South Africa, especially the same issues that speaks to the stabilization of the institution, to make sure that we do fill critical posts. I think in the current conjuncture, members are aware, as we reported earlier on, that we have three critical vacancies, namely the CEO, the CMO, and the Chief Financial Officer. May we proceed to the next slide, please? Can we show the next slide on stabilization, please? Chair, am I still in?
You are audible.
Oh, but the browser is not moving. So
but use your own slide, because I believe we have received the presentation, all of us, so that we can proceed.
It is on slide 4, Chairperson.
Oh, it is on. No, I'm sorry. interesting, Chair. Ms. Tobias, what I'm suggesting for the progress sake, that you continue with your slides that you have before you, but you indicate the slide because we do have the presentation. While sitting back in terms of dealing with the technology glitches. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Honorable Chair, in relation to the non-filling of this critical post, in the current conjuncture, we do have a rotational system that has been introduced. For instance, we currently have Dr. Julie, who is acting as the Chief Marketing Officer currently, and very soon she will finish her term and we'll have another executive who will act. In relation to the CFO, because of a critical nature, we still have Mr. Komoto Sirite as the acting chief financial officer, and we continue to have Ms. Julie Tillemans, because the board strongly felt that there is no need for us to change her to ensure that there is stability in the institution. So we continue to have those critical posts not filled. And in relation to the country head, we wanted to fill the post, but at that juncture, nobody was going to be able to agree to act or take a permanent post that will only be for 12 months, because the onboarding process itself takes up to 12 months. So a fixed contract has been extended in critical service delivery units, including but not limited to the supply chain management and the country health of US and the UK. And we have intern that are having a fixed term contract, and we have 7 interns in Alaska where in 2-year internships has been provided, and their internships has been translated into 12 month fixed term contracts from the 1st of March 2021. Chair, until we have met the executive authority, we want to say it upfront that we want the oversight mechanism, having raised its own concerns about the continuous rising of vacancy rate in South Africa. We will request that you also help us in paying attention to this matter to speedily address the issues of vacancy rate, because it has moved from 12% to 14% as it stands in the current conjuncture. Therefore, as we continue, Chair, we will need your support. And in relation to the promotion of the country's reputation, can the Chair please allow me to request our acting CEO, Ms. Tulisile Manzini, to take the portfolio committee through on the presentation we prepared for your good self today, Chair, through your permission.
The permission is granted. Honourable members and DM, I've received a message that run about 12, DG Nkuna needs to be released so that he can join the minister in the cabinet meeting. And I'm sure DM will allow that because he was not the one who made the presentation. But I just waiting for the record purposes.
Over to you, I'm accompanied by 2 board members, the chair of HRS, Ms. Lulu Johnson, and Dr. Davros Nicolau, who will help in the flight of questions from members. CEO, may you proceed?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Thank you, Chair. Thank you very much, DM, and greetings to all the committee members. On the issue of the plan to stabilize the institution at the leadership position, we also looked at the issues of stakeholders, because stakeholders are very important to us and they are actually at the core of what we do. We have stakeholders with government, business, and civil society. So Brand South Africa stakeholders, we are identified as people or organizations that are affected by Brand South Africa's work, and those who have influence and power to champion the Brand South Africa cause one, and those who have direct interest in the success of the nation brand. Also, Brand South Africa consistently monitors stakeholder sentiment with regard to perception of the entity. And as such, the institution, we could track off and we engage with stakeholders who have issued informal queries about the organizational stability or requested face-to-face interaction with the entity, especially during the time when there was negativity in the media about Brand South Africa. We went on a drive to make sure that we understand their sentiments and we understand what they say and we get input. And we have such a report of our main and critical stakeholders on the input they've given us. But although questions were raised in the past, the organization, we continue to work with, they continue to work with us in the fulfillment of our mandate. We get a lot of requests from critical and relevant stakeholders still wanting to work with us. So the negative publicity that we had did not necessarily affect how they see us and how we interact. Actually, if we look at the numbers, we have actually improved. But also in terms of stabilizing the institution and taking from what the chair has said, the chair covered about all the positions that must be filled and what we are doing, but also to add that we also intend to liberate the office of the EA through the Deputy Minister, Siweya, who is responsible for Brand South Africa, and also the Acting Minister, Chabeni, in contributing to the management of perception of stability at the organization. So that is what we are currently doing. Can we go to the next slide, please? On this specific slide, I want to take this opportunity to illustrate the impact of Brand South Africa's work in positioning the entity, and more importantly, in promoting our country's reputation. And this is, after all, our core mandate as the country's official marketing agency. The numbers you see here are taken from our domestic perception research, which is a national study that assesses perception of South Africans of the nation's brand. And this slide, committee members, provides just a snapshot of awareness level of the NPD, the country's tagline, and some of our key programs between 2017 and 2020. And it shows how we have been able to drive awareness of the nation brand and of our key programs. We've been monitoring the impact of our work since 2014, and that data can be shared with honorable members should the opportunity arise in the near future. As you can see, awareness of the country logo and the inspiring new wave tagline is at its peak level with 62% in 2020. And this is from a baseline of 13% in 2014. And the awareness level of the Brand South Africa, it has also increased consistently over the years, peaking at 49% in 2019 from a baseline of 18% in 2014. We also monitor awareness of our key programs such as Play Your Part and our constitutional awareness program, both of which have consistently increased over the period. I will now, chairperson of the portfolio committee, hand over to Ms. Tobias, the chairperson of the board, for the closing remarks and the last line. Thank you.
Over to you, board chair. Thank you very much, chair, and thank you to our acting CEO. Chair, as we conclude, we have made it clear that we are hamstrung by the moratorium which has been handed over to Brand South Africa since the 9th of October in the filling of vacancies due to the configuration process. We are aware that other institutions are continuing their business as usual, but with us, we are unable to fill critical posts to be able to do our day-to-day work. We therefore plead your good self and the executive authority to look at this matter and speedily resolve and uplift this moratorium as it limits the type of work we need to do as the managers of the reputation of South Africa Incorporated. Therefore, we'll look forward to the filling of these vacancies as our team is ready at this stage to do that. Hence, I said we want to also keep the vacancy rate that has been raised as a concern by the portfolio committee, and once these critical posts are filled, because those are key, will be able to operate in full capacity. Therefore, Chair, I thank you for your time and giving us the opportunity to make this presentation to the portfolio committee, and we'll always be on the sideline to provide research work as our research team is always available to give additional information. I thank you for your indulgence. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Team DPME. Mr. Lulu Johnson, you are most welcome. We are happy that you have joined us today, and also Dr. Mukalawi. Also, both of you, gentlemen, you are welcome to accompany the board chair time to time it's useful also to be part of this meeting so that you can hear how the sharply the members read the matters. Without any waste of time, honorable members, let me allow an open for engagement to both the presentations. I'll see by show of hands. I can see Honorable Kibi, her hand is up. Honorable Malati. For now, I've got those two hands. We'll keep quiet, Honorable Dule, and reserve our right to comment. Motipe, I'm reading the names that your name is already on the list, Honorable Dule. So I've got this 1, 2, 7, Honorable Kibi, Malazi, Ngondwe, Malumane, Dule, Motipe, all of them are honorable members. Honorable Kibi, over to you, ma'am.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. If I'm allowed, can I switch off the video? Yes, Chair. Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, Chair, honorable members and colleagues. Let me first of all welcome and appreciate the two presentations by DPME and Brent. Honorable Chair, my question would go to DPME. On slide 4 and 6, a reference to the status of the submission of the comments agreements. What consequence management measures have been implemented to the number of HODs that do not comply? As for section 41, clause 3 of the Public Service Act reference HODs that would forfeit all benefits relative to the PMDS. Has that consequence management been implemented? What are the valid reasons that were provided by HODs that did not submit their performance agreements? My next one. The challenges mentioned in slide 7 poses a huge challenge where performance agreements are compliance driven, not performance driven. This indicates that the quality of performance is questionable and the results of performance might be quite poor, leading to the standing question of implementation and the type of impact that performance has with regards to service delivery. This is a huge challenge, Honorable Chair. Are there any proposals by the department in a partnership with the Public Service Commission with regards to this? There is an element of inaccurate reporting or even false reporting. Surely this cannot be acceptable from employees. What measures has the department put in place to deal with the situation? The linkages and alignment to the MDSF were not clear and adequate. This poses as a challenge as it speaks to policy implementation. This means that the MPSF is not being effectively implemented. Can the department please share how it plans to assure that there are changes and alignment to the MPSF?
I know, but also new tango. Thank you. You may proceed, Honorable Member. Thank you.
Thanks, Honorable Chair. There needs to be proper monitoring with regards to DGs and HODs that do not update their performance agreement as after quality assurance feedback or some form of consequence management. These are HODs and DGs. They need to showcase leadership, Honorable Chair. reference to the follow-ups with regards to the amendments of the agreement, has the department set time frames with regards to the conclusion of the amendment? I thank you, Honorable Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Kibi. Honorable Malaki, over to you, sir.
Thanks, Chairperson, and greetings to all colleagues who have connected. Chairperson, I'm very worried about the state of Rand SA, given the presentation, particularly around the human resource situation in them. And I just wanted to establish, because going through the presentation, I think on more than two occasions, reference is made to the moratorium on the filling of posts on a permanent basis. And just now, the chairperson made reference to the fact that the engagements with, you know, the executive authority, and there doesn't seem to be a breakthrough in there. And perhaps the question should be put to the deputy minister in terms of what are the plans,
Honorable Malaki,
that is currently underway or being explored between the and South African tourism. Chair?
Yes, I was just going to request you to switch off your video because your connectivity was breaking. We couldn't hear
okay,
you.
Okay, yeah, I anticipated that. I've just done that.
Thank you.
Yeah, so I was on the point that perhaps the deputy minister of Brand SA regarding the status of the reconfiguration process that is being referred to here in of Brand SA, South African Tourism and Invest SA, because from reading the presentation and the same process, so one can then conclude that and process is concluded, the moratorium may remain in the Deputy Minister here. For the Chief Financial Officer and again the acting situation with the Chief Marketing Officer. It really doesn't send a message of stability, particularly for the Chief Marketing Agency of the country, because if you are going to sell as the entity that, you know,
I can hear phone, just that you disappeared a little bit.
Oh, okay. So I was saying, with the filling of those two vacancies, if we can be given an update there. And lastly, with regards to the presentation that DPME made with regards to performance agreements of, you know, head of departments and DGs, DPME made the point regarding the misalignment between, you know, the performance agreements with the MTSF. And this is a point that is repeatedly emphasized in that presentation. If we can get, you know, more insights there in terms of how do we reconcile those performance agreements with the targets as articulated in the MTSF, and even more pertinently with those that are captured in the performance agreements of the ministers, so that we do not find ourselves in a situation where there's shifting of goalposts when it comes to accountability from either the executive authority or the accounting of the accounting authority. Thanks very much for your patience.
Thank you, Honorable Malatsi. If you may, do a favor as well and post your questions on the platform, because some of the better half of your questions, we couldn't hear them. I'm not too sure whether it's from my side or everybody was like that, just to be on the safer side, so that when they come back to respond, then they're able to capture all your questions. That will bring us to Honorable Gondwe.
Thank you very much. Ndul. After Malatsi.
No, Honorable Ndul, can you, because the list, unfortunately,
okay,
when you shout, it's Gondwe,
okay.
I have her name already.
Okay.
My apology,
okay,
for that.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Honorable Lesuma, and good morning, colleagues. Let me start by appreciating the presentations from DPME and Brand SA. I have questions for both entities or departments. My questions to DPME are as follows. I'm happy to note that there was a high level of compliance in the submission of compliance agreements in the 2020-2021 financial year, despite the restrictions placed on all of us by the pandemic. But I'm, however, concerned, like Honorable Malatsi, that even though there was compliance, there's still the problem of the linkages between those performance agreements and the MTSF and the outcomes of the NDP. And I must say, I'm a bit disappointed that there's DPME, your role in this regard has been reduced to one of very much a secretarial role. And I would have thought that given your mandate, you would have played a much wider and more extensive role in ensuring that, you know, in this instance, that there are linkages and it doesn't just end at a secretarial level. And so I think it's very important that that is prioritized. And I take your point that the DPSA are ultimately the custodians of these performance agreements and you have this limited role, but I wondered whether you couldn't play a more extensive and wider role in this sense in ensuring that there are linkages between the performance agreements and the MTSF rather, and that these performance agreements are performance driven vis-a-vis being compliance driven, because we are 10 years or so away from 2030, and then the NDP effectively comes to an end, or we should have achieved most of the outcomes in the NDP. So that is my worry. I'm also concerned that and I stand to be corrected, maybe my reading of your presentation wasn't correct, that only 33% of the DGs and HODs in the Northwest submitted their performance agreements on time. Have you been able to determine why, there was just this poor submission rate in the Northwest? And in your conclusion, you indicated that there must be consequence management for defaulters in instances where there's poor performance. I wanted to know, and you also indicated there will be a review of the HOD PDMS guidelines, whether you know, the possibility of having consequence management will form part and parcel of that intended review. And I wanted to know when this review was going to take place. And yes, you have the review, but what are you going to do with the outcomes of those, of the review? How soon will they be implemented? Because it's very important that the review happens in light of the challenges that you highlighted, especially around the performance agreements being compliance rather than performance driven. And then brand SA. I take the point that you indicate that at an executive level you have a number of positions that are vacant, that are CEO, Chief Marketing Officer, and Chief Financial Officer, and this is due to the moratorium that was imposed on the 9th of October, pending the reconfiguration of SA Tourism, Brand SA, and SA. I wanted to know, this didn't come across very clearly in your presentation, the person that's currently acting as a CFO, when is his or her tenure expected to end? And then you also indicate that the Board of Trustees has appealed the disciplinary matter of the previous CFO of Brand SA, and the matter is pending in the Labour Court. I wanted to know whether the matter had been set down by the Labour Court, in either is there a trial date, or when is it likely to be heard by the Labour Court, and is this former CFO currently on suspension with pay? If yes, how long has the CFO been on suspension with pay, and how much is this costing Brand SA if indeed he or she is on suspension with pay? And then regarding the reconfiguration process, I'm also concerned that you have this moratorium because of this reconfiguration process. And I wanted to also get an update on how the process is progressing and when it's likely to be finalized or wrapped up, and whether what the exact impact of this reconfiguration process will be. Will there be job losses? Will there be some restructuring of sort? Obviously there will, but I just want to know what the impact of that will be. And then you indicate that you appeal for the moratorium to be lifted. When exactly did you make this appeal? This didn't come across very clearly in the presentation that you made. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Honorable Condren. That will bring us to Honorable Julie. After that, I'll read questions on behalf of Honorable Governor, who has to leave to attend to her health. Over to you, Honorable Julie.
Chairperson, thank you. Morning to everyone, and we welcome all the presentations, GPME and Brand SA. Safe to say, Honourable Gibby covered me on some of the issues, but I wanted to put a right on DPSMA to say what happens if an authority didn't sign the performance agreement, only to find someone will forfeit benefits in terms of PMDS. Can you elaborate on that one? And initially, who answers? Who answers? Sometimes we learn that in departments, you'll find that the be it provincial or national, find that the minister or MEC is not in good terms with the HOD or the DG, and they are not seeing things, working relations. our emphasis is that this is compliance driven. That will also measure the impact and the outcomes of the service delivery on the ground. Meaning ordinary people will then suffer if things do not go well. So we need to know as to who does the back stand with, because it can't be banana republic. You frustrate me because of your powers and it ends there. And they mentioned that sometimes DPSA intervenes with a national school of government. Now I wanted to check in this one to say DPSA and National School of Government, is it a given program for interventions, or it comes in for those who are seen not doing well? And again, I wanted to check to say now, are there any disciplinary measures that are put in place so that if I frustrate you not to do the work properly, I'm also disciplined, irrespective that I'm senior to you. Are there any disciplinary measures? I'm still on the submissions that are not signed. And one other thing is that people on the ground suffer for people who doesn't do their work but sitting in offices in air conditions and not thinking of the entire nation that is looking at this government. Now going to brand SA. In terms of the moratorium, I'm a bit worried to say all their posts are critical. But sometimes with the moratorium, you'll find that it allows only critical posts. What attempts have they done, particularly the board, to push for these posts to be filled? Because for me, that we are waiting for the amalgamation, that means if the amalgamation can come in 2 years' time or 2 to 3 years' time. Because for now, we are just sitting on hopes that it will happen. But here we do have people who are supposed to work fully and do their work confidently. And on the other hand, I'm looking at this can cost this department having the people who are doing a good job leaving the entity for their security. And you can't be on a place for quite some time where you don't know your future. And that's why I'm taking the attempt that has been done by the board to push hard for this post to be filled. For me, amalgamation can come and move with the structure and see and maybe we can say we'll only cross the bridge when we come to it. Why should we wait for the bridge when we are not even yet there? I think those are the things that I wanted to add. Having said that, my colleague Honorable Gibby covered some of the questions that I've jotted down here. Thank you. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Member Tuli. For Honorable Komani now, I will read them as they are. First question from her is that, what is the role of DPME and consequence management to deal with the MECs who does not sign as said in slide 4, other than them saying they are seized with a challenge without a solution? Second question, which is the last question, what assurance does the department do to ensure performance agreements are implemented and what support is given to them? That will bring us to now to Honorable Maltumane to ask the question. Over to you, ma'am.
Thank you,
Honorable Maluma.
Thank you, Chair. Can you hear me?
We can hear you. You may proceed, ma'am.
Okay, thank you. Let me also welcome both presentations made by Brand SA and DPME. Let me greet the staff, colleagues, and everyone that is present. I just want to go to Brand South Africa. My question is going to be that because of the reconfiguration, can they tell us what challenges are they facing because of this moratorium that they are waiting for the process between the SA Tourism and Brand SA and the investment? What does it affect? How are they coping, or how does it affect them for now because of these issues of vacancy rate? The other thing, what I want to know is that did Brand South Africa present their business case to those given the responsibility to reconsider the three institutions? The other one that I want to check on the issue of the DPME, but I think maybe it was asked about the quality assurance and the issue of alignment of the MTFF. So I think that those questions were highly questions that were asked, and then I think I'm covered on those ones. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Maluma, and that will bring us to the last honorable member who would like to ask a question. Honorable Motipe, over to you, ma'am.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, and then also greeting the honorable colleagues and the all of the people who are present in this moment. I've got a question for DPME. For professionalizing, the public service is at the center of six administrations. Performance management systems play a crucial role if government aspires to achieve such a goal, number one. With the department, is its engagement to review the policy of HOD's CMDS, re-evaluate the role of the ministers or MECs in assessing performance of the HODs and DGs as part of a new way of separating administration from politics and ensuring performance is used as a yardstick to retain performance and fire non-performance? Can the head of administration in the president's office and previous office, together with experts in various fields relevant to a particular sector, and the Public Service Commission be given such responsibilities and recommend to MEC or ministers about the outcome of performance. And then for Brand SA, this one I think needs to be emphasized because I hear most of the honorables have said it, but not the way I wanted to put it. So I will question it the way I understand it so that you can able to answer it the way we need it. Did Brand SA present their business case to those given the responsibility to configure three institutions? That's the first question. The second one is, since the introduction of the moratorium of funded posts due to reconfiguration, what is the staff turnover rate? How crucial or critical are those positions that are vacant? Thank you so much, Honorable Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Members. That's what brings me to afford both the Brand SA and DFME to respond. Moving forward, Honorable Members, I will urge that we do make adjustments as well. Is that the DM?
Chair, no, it's Matul. No, Chair,
you want to come back?
No, just one thing, Chair. I wanted to check, Chair, with the department as to DPME, as to what attempts have they done to push hard to the provinces that have not done their work. Provinces like your Northwest, your Mpumalanga, your KZN. What is it that they've done to date? Thank you, Madam.
No, thank you very much, Honorable Member. While I was saying that, sometimes as Honorable Members, we must come also with suggestions to guide and support the department as it were. But we'll see how we craft those ones at the end of this discussion. Honorable DM and Chairperson, Brad S.A., Ms. Tobias, over to you, ma'am.
Thank you, Chair. This is DM Sumaya. Let me welcome the questions which have been presented by members of the Portfolio Committee. I'm going to request that I respond to the one which has continuously been referred to us as the Ministry in relation to Brand SA. Chair, if you remember at my opening remarks, I said that, for example, with the position of the acting CEO, we are in a process of ensuring that we feel so. The minister has signed and given it to the DG of GCIS, who must then subsequently send it to DPSA for processing. We remain committed to ensuring that the institution becomes stable. And what informed the moratorium was because of the envisaged measure which would come, and therefore it would honestly be futile to provide people with contracts for 5 years, and hence we had looked at stabilizing the institution in a process of 12 months. What we are going to request, Chair, I know that it might really sound out of order, is that maybe allow us an opportunity to go back between us and Brand SA and the minister to go and look into how can we fast track the process of ensuring that we extend those contracts for 12 months. The reality is that, Chair, with the pandemic and how as a country we've been moving from one level to another, the process has been slow, and we want to apologize for that, but safe to say that we remain committed to ensuring that we assist the institution to be stable. You would remember, Chair and members of the committee, that the measure, I was trying to read the question from Honorable Malat today. The measure is between Brand SA, SA Tourism, and Invest SA. And colleagues, if you, I'm sorry for that, I'm trying to open it again. The last part there, when we're talking about, given the existence of the presidential envoys on investment and tourism, and those
whether there is still a strategic need for the existence of brand safety. And the answer to that is that the executive is looking into amalgamating the three so that we can be more effective. And that is what the process is. But I'm honestly going to request that give us an opportunity to go back as brand safety so that we don't come to the portfolio committee. They say something else and then we say something else. We go and find each other and then in 2 weeks time we come back to you with one concrete answer. I'm going to request that the other questions, let's start with the DPME because the DG wants to leave at 11 o'clock and then after that Brenda say can answer and if there are follow-up questions, it's still fine, we're still available to answer. Thank you, Chair.
Over to you, DG.
Thanks once again, Chairperson, and thanks to the DM and honorable members. I am going to take a couple of questions and the others are going to be addressed by the DDG who presented. Now, the first point of departure is that it must be common cause that anyone who works in the public service must have a performance a contract so that it is not optional to whether to have it or not. So that is the point of departure as far as we are concerned. Now, that brings me to the question of consequence management. So what happens when performance agreements are not submitted? Now we have two parties to each performance agreement, the concerned HOD and the minister concerned, the executive authority. Now what we have done, we have investigated various cases to understand why we have challenges. And it turns out that the problem that we encounter have nothing to do with performance agreements per se, but they are systematic challenges facing certain departments and ministries. And in many instances, it has a lot to do with the relationship between the two parties. Now, as the system stands currently, it says that if there is no submission of the performance agreement, the HOD will suffer consequences in that he or she will not be assessed and consequently will not get benefits that go with such assessments. So what it means is that the punitive measures or consequence measures are one-sided. Only one party is punished for not submitting a performance agreement. Now we have instances where the DGs would have done everything, but only to find that given the relationships between the two parties, the EA does not want to sign for one reason or another. Now, what we have done with respect to that part, in the new agreements that the ministers have signed with the president, there is a provision and a requirement for ministers to ensure that they exercise oversight on the HODs, and that includes making sure that HODs do have performance agreements. So what it means is that if the EA does not sign, we will send that report to the president as part of the assessment of the EA. And the president would then figure out how to make the necessary consequence management at that level. So we believe, Chair, that by the inclusion of this requirement in the performance agreements of ministers, we will then get the president also to be involved in ensuring that there is a full compliance across the board. So that is what we have done up to now. Now, with respect to the question on why we say that the performance agreements are compliance-driven, the situation is such that we don't measure impact of what people do. So we only rely on what people say they have done. But then there is no mechanism to measure impact. Now, measuring impact does not start with performance agreements, but it starts with the entire value chain from the MTSF to the APPs and so forth. So what we have been doing on the other end has been to look at the quality of the APPs themselves. And we have done a lot of quality assurance on the APPs that will be coming to Parliament in the next session. Now, here we're talking about what happened in the year ending in March this year. So what we're doing, we start with the APPs to make sure that we have adequate APPs that will then inform the performance agreements of the HODs and indeed ministers. Now, when it comes to impact assessment, we are going to do that as DPME as part of our biannual report. So when we produce our biannual report, we'll not only look at what people have committed to do in terms of the APPs, which would be more output driven. We will also focus on the impact, and that will entail us also going out there, speaking to communities so that we can also get the voices of South Africans, people who are affected by service delivery. And when we report on our biannual report, we'll also indicate that and show that this is what South Africans think. So in other words, we'll say that this is what the departments are saying. This is what we found using other mechanisms of research. This is what's coming up in our surveys through engagements with the communities, so that we are able to have some kind of 360 degrees assessment of the performance of the government as a whole. Now, the DDG will deal with the timeframes for the amendments of the current system that we have. I just wish to conclude by speaking on the issue of the provinces. What are we going to do with the provinces that are not complying? Now, as things stand currently, there is no mechanisms for DPME on its own, besides making a follow-up. However, we will then advise the principals in the form of the minister to bring this to the attention of the premiers, because we envisage that the premiers also need to ensure that their MECs do comply and sign a performance agreement of the HODs. So our understanding of the system is that the premiers have a role to play in this, and we are going to advise the minister to deal with the current challenge. Lastly, Chair, as we intervene, because we indicated that these performance agreements did not come at the same time, some came after the deadline. Now, the challenge is that you cannot contract after the fact. If you do not contract at the beginning of the financial year, and then at the end of the financial year, then is when people sign agreements, because we are coming to Cape Town. That also presents some challenges, because a performance agreement should be in place at the outset, at the onset, when the financial year is done. So we will have a challenge, because it means that even if they are signed, the question is whether you can assess someone on something that was not signed at the start of the contracting period. And this one matter that we'll grapple with in our engagement with the DPSA as we seek to find ways to improve the performance management system. But then on the questions raised by Honorable Gondwe, I think the overarching issue is that the performance agreements are an outcome of good planning in terms of the MTSF and the APPs. And as I say, going forward, as we prepare for the next financial year, we have spent a lot of time focusing on the quality of the APPs themselves. And once we have done that, then the outcome of that assessment will then inform and influence what then becomes the performance agreements of the HODs going forward. I'll then ask the DDG Blakely Fatula to deal with some of the issues, including a question on the time frames for the review of the current system. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. DDG. Over to you, Mr. Karim. You may proceed, sir.
All right. Thanks, Chairperson, and also thank you to the honorable members for the questions and the comments that they've made. And also, just in addition to what the DG has indicated, the questions that Honorable Kibi raised around the consequences for HODs who do not comply, for 2021, all HODs have actually signed. The Northwest is only where the three that affect the Northwest, which has not been signed, is because of the MEC's signature. And as the DG has indicated, is that we have been interacting with the Northwest province, particularly the Office of the Premier and the affected departments, to ensure that this is signed. And as late as this past weekend, we have been interacting with them, and they haven't performed. So it's it's one of the issues that has to be dealt with the Office of the Premier, to say that the Office of the Premier must actually assist us to ensure that the MECs comply in as far as the PMDS is concerned. The other question that was raised by Honorable TB related to false reporting. I need to indicate that in terms of the performance management development system, what people claim to have performed must be backed up by evidence. And that evidence has to be submitted when assessments and evaluations are actually done. And it is only that through that evidence that we can actually mitigate the temptation by individuals to present false reports. So documentary evidence, which will actually be quality assured by DPME, is a mitigation mechanism that we have there. Then there's Honorable Kibi raised the issue of the MTSF, the performance management agreement, and Honorable Gondwe also raised that issue. And I want to deal with these two together in addition to what the DG has said. The role of PME, number one, is to ensure that the government achieves the outcomes that it actually wants to achieve. And in that respect, it is going to be important that as DPME, we interrogate what is in the APPs, and particularly the indicators that go into the performance management agreements of the ministers and of the DGs and the HODs. And our insistence, and it's a huge issue that we've raised with departments, our insistence is that we need to ensure that the indicators are either outcomes-based or impact-based. Where people are putting in output indicators, those indicators must actually lead to the necessary outcome and impact. So the one issue of quality assurance that we are doing is in relation to the nature and the type of indicators that goes into the performance agreements of ministers, you know, and the DGs. And the simple point is here, is that given that ministers and DGs are actually appointed for a five-year period, and the agreements of DGs would actually be annually renewed, performance agreements of DGs would be annually renewed and assessed. It is important that the issues that goes into the performance agreements of DGs must actually have an impact on service delivery and on society, you know, as a whole, and one can give numerous examples, you know, in that regard. So that is how we would want to ensure, over and above what the DG has said, that the value chain between the performance management agreements, the MTSF, and the NDP is actually managed. So that's the first point that I wanted to make. The second point is in relation to Honorable Gondwe's question around the secretariat role of the DPME. We need to understand that in terms of what has been delegated to DPME is that, yes, we have to provide a secretarial role for the PMDS, for the Performance Management Development System of government as a whole, all right, especially where the DGs are actually affected. That's a separate responsibility. But over and above that, it is important that DPME, through its overall monitoring and evaluation function, must actually indicate how government is performing on its overall mandate. So as part and parcel of our monitoring reports and the biannual reports that DG has actually spoken to, we need to indicate as to, is government achieving the targets that have been set, you know, in the NDP and in the MTSF. Because as I stated in the presentation, your performance management agreements are just but instruments, you know, to help us to measure the impact that the department actually has on the impact that government actually has, you know, on society as a whole. So the mere fact that we are providing a secretarial role does not take away from the overall responsibility of GPME also being entrusted with the function to comment and make recommendations as to what's government's overall performance in relation to achieving the NDP outcomes and the impact, and what are some of the recommendations that we can actually make, you know, to the president in that regard. I think the DG has dealt with the issue around consequence management. In relation to the date, the implementation date, the review has started already between ourselves and DPSA, and we had actually given ourselves up until the end of the year for this review to have been completed and to have been processed through the necessary government clusters. That's the time frame that we had actually given ourselves.
Thank you very much. Let's allow DPSA
here.
Thank you very much, Tim. I was just about to say that let's leave some 15 minutes in Yana for Brand SA, and then we should we go for yes. Brand SA, do you want to still come in?
Yes, please. Thank you very much.
Over to you.
Thank you. Honorable Chairperson, I'm going to share some of the questions with my colleagues. Mr. Lulu Johnson will speak to matters of human capital, and will also ask Dr. Stavros Nicolaou to speak to issues that's got to do with the reputational risk as we market sort of incorporated. But let me speak to all the questions were very critical. But let me first speak to the issue that from Honorable Malachi asking about the existence of the reserve. Honorable Malachi, we have prepared a portfolio of evidence that we are prepared at any given point to present to the executive authority about why the need for Brand South Africa to exist. Once we are given a platform to present, we will be presenting that. And on the issue of what more than one honorable member has raised on whether to present a business case, we are awaiting a response from the minister for a meeting. We are on the sideline. At any time, any day, this board will be prepared to meet the minister so that we can present our business case, particularly on the issues of the upliftment of the moratorium and the importance of allowing this critical post to be filled in good time. We were ready, like I said, we even advertised at some point, so we had to be stopped by the moratorium. So we are prepared at any point to address this matter. And in relation to the issue of the CFO and the tenure of the CEO, can I request our colleagues to speak to that? And there's one question from Honorable Malachi that's related to two board vacancies. We have since written to the executive authority, therefore we are awaiting a response. I will take it for granted that the handover process to the new acting minister might have delayed the response. So we are waiting for that one. We do not appoint from our side. The president appoints and will be given the name. So we have sent the letter and we are awaiting the response from the executive authority. Do you, Chair, if you can allow these two colleagues to respond to the other questions, please?
Over to you, Mr. Lulu Johnson.
Thank you, Chair. good afternoon. Good morning, sorry, to all the members. Colleagues and officials from the department. Thank you. There were two related questions, Chair, that were asked. The one relates to, in fact, they are both related to the CFO who has since been dismissed. from the stable of Brand SA. Since 2019, on the 7th of March, the CFO, due to a number of disciplinary issues, has since been suspended and later to have been dismissed on the 4th of December 2019. She has since appealed through a process of CCMA, which she got to be awarded in her favor, the appeal, and then the Brand SA has since appealed, and the matter is, as we speak, at Labor Court. The dates have not been as yet set by the Labor Court. This is a matter that is taking a bit of a time. Undoubtedly, these are critical posts. As we had just started as a new board, we were in a process of having to advertise for both the CEO's position together with those other critical positions, the chief marketing officer, among others. As I said, these are quite critical positions. They do have an impact on the morality of the staff, as you shall be having your acting in charge. There was a period, as I said, that this advertisement would have gone out, but due to the moratorium that has been reported by the chair from the executive authority, we couldn't proceed with that process. We find ourselves in that situation, coming from a process wherein we were inundated with matters related to the former CEO, Dr. Makubele, and having just concluded on that matter, as his term came to an end of July, we find ourselves, as we speak now, confronted with the moratorium. It's quite unfortunate, Chair. Maybe the executive authority might also wish to guide us on this one. It's quite unfortunate that Brand SA, Tourism South Africa, and also Investment South Africa are expected to pull together into one agency. Whilst we have the moratorium as a Brand South Africa, other entities, in the case of Tourism South Africa, they are allowed to proceed advertising for their CEO position. We hope this matter is to be clarified going forward, and we take guidance from the executive authority in this case. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Mr. Lulu. You know, Ms. Mazin, unfortunately, it was an oversight from my side. I should have immediately after the chair allow you to speak, and then the board member closes. I will suggest, honorable members, so that there's a smooth flow of responses, that other administrative questions that we have asked, that we receive them in writing from Brand SA and allow DM DPSA Honorable Chikunga to come in to lay the foundation on the presentation that we're going to get, and we proceed, but also with an understanding that, as promised by DM, DPME, that they will come back to us in the near future in terms of specification and details, in terms of the deadlines and other related matters. We also give them that space within our program. Secondly is that I will start just based on these two presentations, that we invite the Northwest in the form of the Premier or the DG, HOD in the office of the Premier, to take us into confidence what prevents them to comply with what is expected from them, and also to work around how do we assist each other in that space, together with the affected premiers and the DGs that the report has presented. Because you can't say
all have complied, but only three haven't. It couldn't be. But I think as this body of an oversight, we should also interact and assist the executive in terms of national government to ensure that the provinces and relevant DGs, they do take this exercise seriously, because it does impact on the output of service delivered that we render to our communities. Which equally goes to the issue of, I would suggest that assistance in terms of vacancies, also we formally raise that one with the relevant ministers, because it overlaps with the Honorable Kubai's department as well, to see can they speed up that. And I'm sure that also DPSA plays a crucial role to ensure that the configuration of the public service also speaks to that, but it does start to have a milestone, noting that last week we're dealing with the directly single public service legislative reform. But all those processes, we can monitor them and oversight over them if there are no milestones and we're able to measure them in terms of the activities. Other than that, allow me, honorable members, to allow DPSA led by DM Chikunga to take us through laying a helicopter overview of the presentation, and allow
the teacher
or whoever he will identify to do the presentation. Over to you, ma'am.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Let me also acknowledge the presence of you, Chairperson, and the honorable members of the Portfolio Committee. Also acknowledge DMCWAF, DPME, our Director General, Ms. Yolisa Makasi, and Senior Management from DPSA, and of course from DPME, if they're still with us here, and Brand South Africa. Today is, okay, Chairperson, I wanted also to extend the Minister's apology. Minister Senzo Mchunu, I did raise my hand, but I think you did not see it. He too is attending cabinet meeting at this time, and therefore we are extending his apology for not being in the meeting. However, we are here representing him as well. Chairperson, the National Development Plan declares that the public service is central to government achieving our objective of improving the lives of our people through creating a conducive socioeconomic environment through service delivery. One of the objectives of the National Development Plan is to ensure that South Africa is an ethical and developmental state, and that it has a full capacitated, skilled and competent public service that can provide effective, efficient and sustainable service delivery. Chairperson, for the purpose of today's Portfolio Committee meeting, we are expected as the department to provide a status report to members on the filling of vacancies at the level of HODs in the public service. Can I just mention that Section 37 of the Public Service Act of 1994 stipulates that an executive authority has all powers and all those powers and duties necessary for one in the internal organization of the department concerned, including its organizational structure and establishment, the transfer of functions within that department, human resources planning, the creation and abolition of posts, and provision for the employment and personal additional to the fixed establishment. And also, the executive authorities have powers and duties necessary for the recruitment, appointment, performance management, transfer, dismissal, and other career incidents of employees of that department, including any other matter which relates to such employees in their individual capacities, and such powers and duties shall be exercised or performed by the executive authority in accordance with the Public Service Act. So, Chair, the DPSA has been providing support to departments to ensure that they feel this vacant post in terms of monitoring and communicating to departments. Letters are issued to departments to remind them about filling the post and encouraging them to meet the turnaround time of 6 months to fill the HOD post. We have done this and more, which will be covered by the DG in her presentation. We will therefore be requesting Chair, the DG, to take us through the presentation, and after that we'll await questions from the honourable members and we will respond. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honourable DM Chikunga. Over to you, DG Yoli. Over to you, ma'am. Thank you.
Thank you, Deputy Minister. Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning to all committee members, including colleagues from Grand SA, DPSA, as well as the PME, and the board members at Grand SA as well. I will take the committee briefly through the report. I have a colleague from DPSA, Mr. Marcel Wilson, who will also be helping me with answering some of the questions. This is work that falls under the Human Resource Development Unit in the department. The purpose of this presentation, we want to provide the status on vacancies at the level of heads of departments in the public service, which is basically DGs nationally and DGs in provinces, and heads of departments in provinces. In terms of the regulatory framework, I think that we know the constitution, so I will not spend much time in relation to that, except to highlight Section 84.2E as well as 85.2A and 92.1 of the Constitution as a founding basis in terms of this responsibility. Then we also highlight the Public Service Act, where it gives Minister responsibility for establishing norms and standards in relation to functioning of the public service and all these other responsibilities that are given here, including the conditions of service and labor relations, amongst others. The minister may also advise the president regarding the establishment or abolition of any department, the designation of any such department and head thereof, or the amendment of such designation. Also here, we are just highlighting that an executive authority, which is the relevant minister or premier in a particular province or department, has powers and duties in order to do internal organization of the department concerned, including the organizational structure, transfer functions, but these are done in concurrence with MPSA. The recruitment, appointment, performance management, transfer, dismissal, and other career incidents of that department guided by the prescripts that are in existence. We also just highlighting here that the appointment and other career incidents of the heads of departments and government component shall be dealt with by the president if it's a head of a national department or national component, by the premier if it's a head of a provincial government or a relevant government component in the province. It's important to highlight that employment must be fair and efficient. So our processes are very important in respect to that. And in terms of our regulations, Regulation 657 of Public Service Regulations 2016, a funded post shall be advertised within 6 months after becoming vacant, and it shall be filled within 12 months after becoming vacant. And I think this is very important because this is the measurement, this is the guide that we use when we assess these vacancies. The role of the MPSA in relation to filling of heads of department posts nationally, the MPSA advises the president on national directors general and facilitate the cabinet processes for filling posts at national government. The MPSA also sets norms and standards to fill such posts in the public service. Now, coming to the question of the committee, the vacancies. We have highlighted in this table the vacancies. I will take the committee members in some detail. The first department is social development. Their post has been vacant since the 31st of May 2017, which gives us 45 months of vacancy, which is way above the 12 months that is allowed in terms of regulation 657. Public Service Commission, they've been vacant for a period of 2 months. I think this is, yes, for a period of 2 months now. And the next one, so this is still within the vacancy, and we'll update later on in terms of progress with this one. National Treasury, they've been vacant since the 1st of October 2015, so we're looking at 65 months. Water and Sanitation, 30th November 2017, 39 months. Agriculture, Land Affairs, Land Reform and Rural Development for 4 months. Since 31st October 2020, military veterans since 15th June 2018 at 33 months, small business 30th September 2018 at 29 months, the presidency since 31st August 2020, so they are at 6 months, communications and digital technologies since 30th June 2020, they are at 8 months, government printing works since 30 June 2016, they're at 69 months. State security agency since 30th April 2018, they're at 35 months. Government pensions administration agency since 31st August 2020, they're at 6 months. So you could see from here that the obvious ones that are above, the way above the period, Department of Social Development, National Treasury, which is GTEC, Water and Sanitation, Military veterans, small business, this is still within the presidency, government printing works 69 months, state security agency 35 months. In terms of the following departments have started their recruitment processes and have received the delegation of authority from the president. What is important about the delegation of authority is that the president delegates the minister to start the process of recruitment. So in this case, communications and digital technologies, they submitted a memo, a cabinet memorandum to us, and it is receiving attention in the department. Small business development, they've submitted a memorandum, I think now sometime in March, it is receiving attention with the department. Social development, we've been told that interviews have been held, but the cab memo has not yet been submitted. The presidency, there was a delegation of authority issued. The presidency is making a number of inquiries with us at DPSA, and so we're getting a sense that there's a process that is in place there, but no submission yet that has been done. Military veterans, the cabinet memorandum was received, but it was referred back due to non-compliance. And they have since re-advertised the post in February 2021. Agriculture, Land Affairs and Rural Development, the delegation of authority issued, we have not heard from them yet. National Treasury, GTEC, a delegation issued, we have not heard from them yet. Government Printing Works, delegation of authority issued. They've indicated they are working on a cabinet memo. They've made some inquiries as well in the department. Government pension administration, they've received a delegation of authority by the 5th of March. The Public Service Commission, our minister received a delegation of authority, and we are working towards ensuring, Minister's Office together with Public Service Commission are working towards ensuring that an advert is issued soon. The following departments have not started their recruitment processes. There has been no request for a delegation of authority to fill the post. So our sense is that there's no movement at all here. This is Department of Water and Sanitation as well as State Security Agency. Communication has gone out to all departments in December. To all national departments, we have not finalized the filling of their HOD posts. The vacancies at provincial level, KZN has 2 vacancies, the Provincial Treasury for 8 months, KZN Transport for 10 months. Northern Cape has 2, 4, 6, 7 vacancies, The one for provincial treasury is 76 months, education 6 months, roads and public works 9 months, agriculture, land reforms and rural development 16 months, environment and nature conservation 13 months, economic development and tourism 76 months, health 12 months. So you can see that about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of the positions are above the term lines of 12 months. I'm counting the health as well because it's on the 12 months now and we have not received any information that there is a recruitment process that has been concluded. The next province, Limpopo, they have 2 education at 13 months and they have social development at 10 months. Education is above the 12 month period and social development is very close. Free State, they have no vacant HOD posts. With Western Cape, they have no vacant HOD posts. Northwest, it's the office of the Premier for 22 months. Agriculture and Rural Development, 5 months. Health, 14 months. Social Development, 28 months. This morning, I spoke to the administrator in Northwest because we've been supporting them as a department to fill these vacancies, because they are under administration. So we have an administrator in the office of the Premier. So there is progress, I think, on all these 4 positions, but as you can see, 3 of them are above the period. And so there is an agency that they need to push in respect to this, and they are aware. Eastern Cape, health, 5 months, rural development and agrarian reform, 29 months, education, 2 months. Mpumalanga, they have about 6 departments having vacancies, agriculture, rural development, and land affairs, and environmental affairs for 33 months, public works and roads and transport for 16 months, economic development and tourism for 76 months, education for 18 months, health for 92 months, cooperative governance for 12 months. Health hasn't had a permanent HOD since the 1st of June 2013 in Mpumalanga. This must be the longest vacancy. I haven't done the test though to check. Gauteng Community Safety has a vacancy for 12 months now, health for 5 months, and economic development for 3 months. So Community Safety is going above the 12 months cutoff period. Some of the observations we've made, there's 12 vacant, current vacant DG posts at national level and 27 vacant posts provincially. In 5 of the provincial departments, the HODs for health is vacant, and this is a major concern considering the service delivery issues around health that we are dealing with and the response to corona countrywide. Some of the key challenges, the departments are not complying with Regulation 657 of the Public Service Regulation. So most of them, as you can see, they are above the 12-month period regarding the time frames to fill the post. We received poor quality cabinet memorandum submitted by departments where there are inherent compliance issues following assessment at national. If you were to ask, Chair, what is my biggest stress besides other issues at DPSA, this is one of the biggest stress areas, because these poor quality CAP memos come into the system and we have to quality check them, we have to give feedback to people, and the ministers on this other side want to take this to cabinet and they are impatient with the processes that we engage in. But we have done a number of interventions I'll talk to in one of my last slides in respect to how we help the departments in this area. In one instance, I mean, there's certain instances where posts have been re-advertised up to 3 times due to poor HR support within the department and due to non-compliance within a department. A simple area of non-compliance would be you advertise the position and you shortlist people, and the requirements for the position are very clear, but you shortlist people who do not qualify. You interview people who do not qualify, and you recommend somebody who doesn't qualify for appointment. So you are away from the entry point of the process. The panel, this matter should have been brought to the attention of the panel. And sometimes when you ask the HR departments, why did you why did you even include somebody who doesn't qualify? Then they said the panel wanted to interview the person. So there's nothing we could do as a child to stop it. So now it gets stopped at the end of the process before it goes to cabinet when it comes to DPSA, because we wouldn't take it to the next step if the person doesn't qualify, or there's some non-compliances that we have picked up, or there's some evidence that's missing, or there's no proof for the qualifications that the person claims to have on the CC. So there's a number of things in the checklist that we look at. And the checklist is public and the protocols are public regarding this work. Departments not following the regulatory framework, creating delays and having kept memos referred back. The risk imposed by acting for longer periods. This is an obvious risk. If you have a position vacant for like 7 to 9 months, you usually will not have one person acting for that period, because even acting is governed by regulations. So at a certain period, you have to stop making one person act and look for another person to act. So there's no stability in the department. And people who are acting generally are not as confident in terms of taking decisions and moving with processes and things forward in the department. Some of the interventions I've spoken about some of these interventions, so I won't spend much time on these. We communicate with departments on advertising and filling posts on an ongoing basis. Some of the interventions we have put in place, we have written letters to national departments and provincial DGs to remind them about their vacancies and to advise them to ensure that these are filled urgently. We sent a letter in December to national departments and a letter to provincial departments in 2021. I need to highlight here, Chair, that some of the provincial DGs who call, they would indicate that they're having challenges in that their premiers are not deciding on appointments, because at the end, it is the premier who must decide on the appointments. So they run with the process, working with the panels that have been appointed by the premier, until a stage where a submission is made to the premier and there's no movement in relation to the appointment. And there's nothing the HOD can do beyond wait and keep on reminding the premier. Workshops held, we've had workshops in 2020 on the recruitment of heads of department and cabinet member. We had a virtual workshop for all departments, HRs, and we invited the HODs as well and DGs in that workshop. Some did attend, some sent their HR. The minister has addressed FOSAT on the 1st of March on their leadership roles and responsibilities. And there was an engagement after this address by the minister with FOSAT members, which is all DGs from nationally and provincially. And the DPSA DG also presented the compliance report. Part of what I'm reporting here has already been shared twice with the DGs at the FOSAT level. We have also issued a number of circulars related to recruitment and correct application of the regulatory framework in relation to recruitment of HODs. That's a list of some of the circulars that we have sent. I must say, Chair, that it remains the prerogative of the relevant executive authority to advertise and fill these positions in their relevant departments in line with the regulations. So we as DPSA cannot advertise and fill positions for them, but we can only support. I think this last slide, we basically just look at some of the next steps. We are currently locking in a project of tracking the filling of vacancies for DDGs in national and provincial departments. My sense is that the picture may even be worse than it is in terms of provincial, of national, in terms of HODs. But we will do that, and we'll provide the report at the correct time. We're also working on our engagements with provincial HOD fora and between April and June, and this is part of the issues that we're taking to the province. But we have a package of compliance issues and also to hear from the provinces what are some of the issues that they are battling with and where we need to intervene as part of our optimization project that we're engaged in. We have compiled a report, a similar report to this one that goes to the president from our minister. This will be done now in March 2021, and we are targeting the cabinet cycle in April to submit the same report on the DG vacancies to cabinet so that we escalate the matter to the highest level possible. the portfolio committee, as my last word, may consider engagements with some of these EAs that are non-compliant. We think that it would assist if the portfolio committee called some of the premiers and some of the ministers who have been sitting on vacancies for a longer time, just to understand what's going on in the account, on how they are going, how they are fixing this particular area. That's all, Chairperson, from our side, and thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honourable DM and DG. Honourable members, here is the presentation. It's up to us to engage with. I'll start by, I've seen Honourable Tuli, on she sent me a message. Honourable Tuli, and then other hands, I think they will follow because I don't see any hands for now. Honourable Kondwe, Stoli, Kondwe, followed by nobody. And I hope Agwekuzu Tunugaza. Honourable Tuli and Honourable Kondwe, over to you, ma'am. Ma'am Pemba. Honourable Tuli? Okay, let's pass. Let's go to Honourable Kondwe. She will come back if she still feels she wants to ask some questions or clarity or comment. Over to you, Ma'am Kondwe.
Thank you very much, Honourable Lefoma. Let me start by appreciating the presentation from DPSA. I have a number of questions for DPSA. They indicate that 8 national departments have started their recruitment process, and having received a delegation of authority from the president, supported by the DPSA, I want to find out whether these departments have been given a timeline within to finalize their recruitment process. I take the point that you know, the recruitment is lie within the executive authority, so DPSA cannot advertise and fill out these vacancies for the various departments, but I want to find out whether you have given them time frames around finalizing the recruitment process. And then you list 3 national departments as having not started their recruitment processes, and there's been no request for delegation to fulfill the posts in question, and you indicated that communication went out on the 31st of December to these departments. You also indicated in your presentation that you've had held a number of workshops, and circulars have been sent out, and you've engaged Foresight on this issue. And I was going to ask that, how can we assist as the committee, because I sense that your hands are tied. You know, as you correctly pointed out, the prerogative of filling these posts and advertising them lies with the executive authorities. And you then said, as a committee, we could engage with the EAs that are not compliant. And I wanted to know, what else can we do other than engaging with them? How best can we ensure that there is, you know, the filling of these posts? And my worry is that some of these posts might be critical posts that need to be filled out. And as you indicated, the challenges are, you know, there's non-compliance with the regulations, especially in respect to the time frame for the filling out of these posts. In certain instances, posts have had to be re-advertised up to 3 times due to poor HR support. And I wanted to know, is this not costing us a lot of money? I mean, this constant re-advertising of posts. And then you also indicate that, you know, there's a risk that is created by persons acting for long periods. I know, having sat on the Joint Standing Committee on Intelligence, that the SSA had a problem with a lot of people acting, and you're right to say that the problem with having people act, you know, is that some of them are afraid to take any decisive and firm decisions, you know, around, you know, the department and how it should function. And so, as I said earlier, my worry is that some of these posts are critical posts and they need to be filled out. I'm just worried that, you know, these workshops, you are having these circulars and these Foresight engagements are not yielding much. So I just need to find out how we can assist other than engaging them. What else can we do? What else can you do as well in terms of ensuring that there's compliance in this regard? And then... Yeah, I think that was my point, because I just wanted to impress upon the fact that since the sending out of letters, the workshops and the circulars and foresight clearly have not made the problem go away. So should we not perhaps have, you know, consequences, you know, for EAs that are not compliant? Because until people are held liable for something, they will keep doing it over and over again. We will have these repeat offenders, and we will have posts being re-advertised. And I'm afraid that that is also costing us money, but I just wanted confirmation from you around this point. Thank you very much.
Thank you, ma'am. Honorable Mutipe, then followed if Honorable Zuli still wants to ask a question, she will come after you, Honorable Mutipe. Over to you, ma'am.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. And then I've got only one question here. As prerogative of executive authority to advertise a vacancy, as much as it is the prerogative of the executive authority to advertise a vacancy, the department cannot rely on the alerting and communicating to relevant authority about the filling of a vacancy. Something drastic than this should be done where a crucial vacancy takes more than a year to be filled. What other measures does the department take in this regard? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Member. Honourable Tuli, are you ready, ma'am?
Yes. No, Chair. Thanks, Chair. I'm mostly covered, but I wanted to register my concern, Chairperson, to say, yes, we can say there are things that are moving on, but it tells you that there is a lot of work that has been not done previously, national and provincial. Now, my comment is that at least we do have the departments that will be considered very soon. The number, we've got quite a number of departments that are really working without the accounting officers. And I wanted to check to DPSA as to what do they take each to themselves, to themselves, to go to to conduct or to see to it that a certain provinces they meet all the required tasks as well as the national department. For me, chair the meeting, goodness into as ninja that is the lele tool. And with a look of things, even some of the vacancies here ranges back to the to last term, and seems as if it's a norm just to live without these accounting officers. And I'm worried if other departments, you see, we were clouded by the pandemic, COVID-19 pandemic. To have departments of health in some provinces working without the accounting officers in such a critical time, I mean, sizefika imvula nje. Where have we been? Besikuphi? Siya move manje, but where have you been all along? It shows that really angathi akulona icala akukubi nje angahlala ngabibikho aphinde futhi nomunye kungene omunye angabibikho. Yeah, that is my concern, Chair and Dimitri.
Thank you very much, Honorable Tuli. Honorable DM and DG, I'll request that we start with the DG, then we can sum up, Honorable DM. Over to you for responses.
Thank you, Chairperson. My responses on the questions, Chairperson. The first one is around the time, whether we have given the timeline to fill the posts after we issue after they receive a delegation. Our response is that in terms of regulations, the positions must be filled within a certain period. I think it's up to 12 months in terms of regulation 65-7. So even this process is guided by that regulation, and the departments are aware of this particular regulation. And then the other point was around no request to fill by the three national departments. How can the committee assist? We have highlighted in our presentation, we think that we think that maybe the committee can engage with some of these executive authorities to understand better what's going on there. From our side, we have given our best. I have actually discussed this matter with the minister, and the minister is also adamant of the view that he's activating Section 16A of the Public Service Act, which says that minister may report to cabinet and executive council through the relevant premier in relation to dealing with these matters. Also may submit to the committee of parliament. What else can be done? There was another question on the cost of constant re-advertising. Certainly, there is cost attached to this. Firstly, for advertising, most departments to prefer for heads of department posts to advertise on national newspapers. So there is in terms of our regulations, you must advertise in the public service vacancies circular, which is for free, and we issue it every fortnight as the department. So usually departments would advertise on the circular as well as on some national newspapers, and they don't advertise for free in national newspapers. But beyond just that cost, the handling cost, because HR must still spend time going through the interview, through the application, shortlisting, the long list and the shortlisting, and in terms of the processes, there must be a panel that sits. So there's lots of time that's invested in that process. Ideally, it's critical that you do things correctly so that you do this once. It's a very involved process. So there is certainly cost implications in terms of time, but in terms of money as well. I may not be able to quantify it now because different departments use different platforms, and we don't necessarily track the financial implications of the PSA. What else can be done to ensure compliance? I think that we have to continuously raise awareness on these particular issues, and we are in our engagement with this matter guided by the Public Service Act. So our actions must be in line with what the Public Service Act requires us to do. Hence, we have reached a stage of activating Section 16A3 in respect to this matter. What do we take to ensure? Do we take it to ourselves to ensure that a certain problem or department recruits properly? So we just again to just underscore that it is not the DBSA's role to check the filling of posts. because each department has an accounting officer, has an executive authority. Our role is to set norms and standards and monitor implementation of those norms and standards. But we rely extensively on the infrastructure that is in the departments in terms of accounting officer, executive authority, and the entire bureaucracy in the department to do that. So even the work that we do in respect to national government, we do that in support to the president, because the responsibility to recruit heads of department is the responsibility of the president that he delegates to respective ministers at the time when the minister requests for that particular delegation. So it is not within our capability currently to be able to really be actively involved in working with the departments to fill the post, but we monitor and we do write reports and reminders to departments once we see that they are going above the allowed period, and etc. And I needed to say this, Chair, that the information that we have presented here, we have pulled this information on PESA. And secondly, we have written to the provinces requesting them to confirm and to inform us by when these positions will be filled. Some of the provinces, the departments have responded and some have not responded. So I take it that the information that we are submitting has gone through a certain level of scrutiny. And from that point of view, we work through that paper trail with departments on all these particular areas. We rely on that bureaucracy of departments and the oversight responsibilities of the executive authority to be able to deliver on this. I don't know, Chair, if any of my colleagues before the DM speak who are here may have anything to add in relation to these responses. Thank you.
I think they would have indicated to you quietly if they did so. I will request the DM then to do her closing remarks on this presentation. Thank you very much. Over to you, ma'am. DM.
She's still here.
Yes, she is.
Okay, I'm sorry. Okay. My apologies. Thank you very much, Chairperson, and we appreciate the opportunity given to us to present this work to the Portfolio Committee and therefore to the people of South Africa, because as members of Parliament, you are representing the people of South Africa. Maybe just to make one correction, Chairperson, in our presentation, by mistake we included Mpumalanga Department of Health as not having the DG, the HOD. It's something that you should have corrected yesterday before sending to you this, because Mpumalanga Province has an appointed HOD by the name of Dr. Savera Mohangi, appointed in 2016. It was just an error on our side, but I think that I have to correct it so that it doesn't go to the records of Parliament without it being corrected. That's the correction. Person, the issue of allowing people to act over a long period is indeed problematic, because the acting itself has its own regulatory framework. A person will not act for more than 6 months. What it therefore means is that within the 6 months, a person will not know as to what is going to happen to him or her after 6 months. In terms of taking decisions, the person may not take decisions because they don't know as to whether there will be people to carry out those and to ensure that things get done. But if the person is interested in continuing to act, it therefore means that they may have to be lenient and therefore not take decisions because they want to be reappointed and so on and so forth. We think it's a model that should not be encouraged in the public service. People must act because people will leave the public service as they retire, as they die, or as they apply for other work elsewhere where there are greener pastures. We can't stop that from happening, and therefore from time to time we will have vacancies. But it cannot be that those are allowed to continue over a longer period. And that is why you are putting in place all the measures, despite the fact that in terms of the law, each executive authority has the responsibility
to ensure that these are filled within time, but we're taking all the measures to ensure that that happens. Thank you very much, Chairperson, and thank you for the questions that were asked. Thank you, DG, and your team for responding to questions, and thank you, Chair. Let me leave it at that.
Thank you, team DPSA. Honorable members will note the apology of Honorable Mthulu, who is attending a cabinet meeting, but let's agree that MANCO should assist us, the portfolio committee MANCO should assist us to factor in specific departments and provinces that need to come before us on this subject matter of filling of vacancies and the risk thereof, and see how best can we assist each other. And I'm sure you would agree with us, with me on that one, honorable members. With that having said, we'll move for the adoption of our previous minutes. I will request Masi just to fly the first set of minutes. I believe it's one set of minutes.
Slide
the minutes in terms of the agenda. We must adopt the previous minutes.
Yes, sir. Can I request that we not adopt the minutes? We'll adopt them politically next week on the 70th. Only a few.
And why? And why did we put them on the agenda? But nevertheless, it's fine. I think, honorable members, there's a request so that we just focus on the minutes. It will have the flow as well in terms of focus and all that. And meanwhile, members must read the minutes and make any corrections that need to be made and be forwarded to Masikole for factoring them in. The point, honorable members, that I raised earlier on that I would like from the office of the chair to take the committee in confidence is that, one, there are numerous complaints that have been reaching to directly to the portfolio committee chair and also to the speaker's office, and from public service or public service related complaints, that I would request the administration through my colleague that you share that information with the members, but also with the legal advice that try to advise us how to deal with such matters, so that in the next meeting when you deal with it, members would have gone through the legal advice, so that also we don't overstep our mandate in this space, and how those complaints have been handled in other levels where they're supposed to be. Two, if that in our next meeting, Marcy, if you can ensure that we include the bill that has been referred to us, coupled with the legal advice as to which exactly the portfolio committee must look at that bill, because from the face look, when I looked at it, I thought it falls under Treasury or Finance Committee. But let's have something in writing that directs us the relevance of the bill and the portfolio committee that must look at it. The number three one must call it that I'm requesting that before next week Wednesday, the MANCO must sit so that we can present a draft report, a draft program for the incoming quarter for the portfolio committee, and allow members to factor in other activities and progress that they think that we must look at. Those are the three items that I put and I stated the reasons of those items. If members, they feel that there are other items or issues that we must look at, may you kindly, honorable members, forward them to Mascoli. We ensure that we factor them within our program, because this portfolio committee is not only to deal with compliance, but also to make sure that the public service, as it were, is robust and much alive through our oversight and also guidance, as it were. With that, honorable members, if there's no other member that would like to say something, I'll wait for a few seconds to allow for the hands, if there are any hands, in agreement with the approach and of the items that I've raised as well. Okay, I will assume, hopefully, that silence is golden and will proceed as I indicated. Other than that, honorable members, honorable DM, Chikunga, and honorable Siwela, we really highly appreciate your ever attendance at any given time when you've got speaking, regardless whether the ministers are available or not. And I think we are one of those portfolio committee who enjoys the presence of the cabinet members and also the DMs and the DGs accordingly, including Brand SA chairperson and her board members. Thank you very much, and the acting DG of Brand SA. Other than that, have a blessed week ahead of us, and all try to keep healthy, safe, honorable members and colleagues. The meeting stands adjourned. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson.